Welcome to the Muskie 360 podcast. Tyler, you are raining down hot jazz right there, son.
Yeah, man, I'm feeling real smooth tonight.
You that
know?
Was
we're branching out into every genre of music. You know,
that was
next is grunge.
Tasty jazz.
Very tasty.
Tasty.
Hope
jazz.
You guys eat it up.
Eat it up from Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders. There, man, bite me like
I've
a sucker.
There we go, man. We finally were able to release it. We thought we were going to go heavy death metal with it, but you know what? We decided to go with smooth jazz.
Smooth. You know, that was as smooth as a sucker.
It was. You know, I've been getting so many messages from fans of Tyler Andrews, the Bottom Raiders.
Uh-huh.
We have music on Spotify. I even had a guy.
We should. All right, promise. Please. I will make a promise. We will finish an entire song at some point.
And we'll put it on Spotify.
For the adoring fan. Is plural possible for your band? Is like...
I don't know.
Is the S necessary with the word fan?
Just one fan.
I had one fan.
His name's Jack Peterson. He sent in a video telling me how much he loves... Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders.
That's awesome. All right, listen.
he was even wearing a Guru sweatshirt, which
we
made me even love it even
we
more.
Did get, like, for the t-shirt contest, we did get a guy that made a shirt that's a big mustache that says Tyler Andrews and the Bottom Raiders World Tour, which is amazing.
Oh, my God. So, oh, my God, that's amazing.
It was amazing, guys. You guys crack us up. Speaking of, I was going to wait till we got to Q&A, but I'm just going to throw it out here. So the thumbnail for this week's podcast is from Jack, that is the winner of the shirt contest period. I've got bad news for you. The people that make our shirt said no. Okay, so we're going to send you a junior's inline. But he said, sup, fish nerds. I made a great shirt design for the challenge and have it attached below. Tell Joe I'm sorry for having him drowning in the design. It didn't look like that. It looked like he's just hanging out in the boat. He said he was just trying to do the thing. He said, well, this is obviously the winning design. Thanks, Jack B. I can't argue with it. It's Sasquatch. My big problem is this. Somehow I'm a woodland fairy.
It's pretty fitting. I think it's pretty fitting.
I feel... do you ever... I wake up sometimes and I feel like a woodland fairy. I just do.
I mean, I've seen you fly a couple times on pixie dust.
On pixie... Jeez. Buddy, you weren't around for those days. I'll tell you that much. There was a... Whoo, I'll tell you. Not a lot of pixie dust and musky fishing. You know, it's 2020. I'm cool with anything. You want to put my face on a fairy with wings? I'm cool with that, man. I'm cool. Whatever, man. Wide open.
I forgot what my face was on. I was on a monkey. That's offensive. I feel more of a gorilla.
Gorilla. Understood.
I'm more of a gorilla, man.
Other than that, I mean, it's Sasquatch holding a big mustache. I think he has a man bun in the picture, too.
Yes.
God, let me pull it up.
Sir, however you edited that man bun in there, well done. Well done.
Brav.
It was.
Oh.
Bravo. That's a hipster squatch.
It was. I mean, it's. I'm pulling it back up here. He's got the man bun. I'm a woodland fairy. Joe is like the guide off the kayak raft there. You're clearly an orangutan is what that is. And he's holding like that gigando, like super big tiger muskie that some dude caught. It's truly art.
It must have taken him
years.
Thousands of hours. Years. He knew about this challenge before we were even alive.
It was so important to him he invented time travel.
Yeah. Yeah, he had to go back in time to do this. It was incredible.
So, man, slow clap.
Slow clap.
That was amazing. I got it tattooed on my back.
I'm thinking about my face. Uh-huh. Just the Sasquatch part, the man bun. Perfect.
Hipster Sasquatch, folks. That thing, that Sasquatch listens to more Third Man Records and Wolf Peck than anybody on the podcast. Freaking hipsters.
Love it. I can't believe someone did this. This is great.
Well, Guru, you've been grinding. I've been grinding. I think everybody I've been talking to, a bunch of people, my boy Jabez, guy's got a crazy name, but he's a client of mine. We came in, did some grinding. It was weird. You know, it's been like a weird week. Bunch of, like, it's totally just been grind with odd bites right now, whether it be hanging meat. You got a fish on hanging meat.
Yeah, we can discuss that in a little bit. Yeah.
Well, thanks for telling me we can talk about it, Tyler. I appreciate that.
You have my permission.
Yeah, I have a while. Wow. 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 Thank you, everybody. We are all in the Guru's world, and we are just merely background players. It is, when you come to terms with that, life gets simpler.
Yes.
Anyway, there's been meat hanging fish. There's been topwater fish. That's the one thing. It's like crazy. I've ran into it. Some people I know have ran into it. You moved a fish on a top raider, and then it hit your hanging meat.
Yes, it did.
Had a tasty, tasty sucker.
Yeah, I mean, everything's been shallow so far up here. I mean, Of course there's fish and rock humps, but I was just slow rolling a top raider. Like, you know, it's just like going boop.
Bop.
Boop. Bop. Barely. Yeah.
Bloop.
Barely spinning.
Bop.
And I had this fish come in. And normally what I do is when I have a fish follow and I have suckers out, I always figure eight right past the sucker. Mm-hmm. Even if the fish is gone and not following, I always figure eight past the sucker in hopes that it guides the fish towards my sucker. And more often than not, that fish will eat that sucker. And that's what happened. I caught a Northwoods hog.
Wow.
Don't judge me. I'm a farm animal noises. I've worked hard on them since I was a kid. I know how a cow goes moo.
It's you farm animal noises. Farm animal noises is actually the autobiography based on Tyler Andrews' dating life.
You're not wrong.
You're not wrong. Country boys make do is what he said. That's actually the name of the book there. Wow. I've ran into some weird bites. And the thing I've noticed is, like, no fight in them either. It's like hit and then freak out when they're in the net. They're like, oh, cool, this is fine. I got a bait hanging on my face. You drag them over the net and they get in the net and they freak out. I got to say, am I crazy to think that it's getting colder up there pretty quick? And it's just like everything almost feels like, I don't know. I'm just running my mouth, but maybe I'm so used to us not having a fall that now that we have a fall that it's weird.
It's kind of weird. It's cold up here, man. It's like mid 40s in Green Bay here.
Uh-huh.
Air temps. I don't know what the water temps are, but it's cold. Cold.
Cold. Well, folks, thanks for tuning in. Tyler Andrews with
the weather. That's all we have.
The weather report there. It's cold, folks. The hot tip this week is it's cold.
Everybody tunes in to see a descript detail of the weather pattern.
Have you ever seen the dude on... God, there's this guy on YouTube, Frankie. Hold on. I got to look it up. It's so good.
That guy that runs around and he's like screaming about the weather?
Frankie's like, the weather in Nova Scotia.
Yes, I know. That guy's awesome.
Frankie McDonald's. Yeah, that's exactly what that ran. He's like, hurricane warning. If you've not subscribed, I'm going to tell you right now, I just put it up on YouTube. Frankie MacDonald. Not McDonald like McDonald's. MacDonald. Frankie is from Sydney, Nova Scotia. He does his own weather reports. He is obviously a sweet human being. Oh, you can probably hear that in the headphones. Can you hear that, Tyler?
I can hear a little bit.
You pretty much got what that's about.
He's amazing. He's my main weather guy.
Frankie's got Frankie is a success story. A lot of people like him, but man, he's out there. He's space caked. It's hilarious, but not in a bad way. You know exactly what I'm talking. A warning, Nova Scotia.
He's handedly
Canada's best that they have to offer. So just clearly that's the best Canada's churning out. Anyway, well, talk to me about your hanging meat scenario, Tyler. What happened there? You got it. You end up scoring that sucker from the Muscalunjo shop, correct?
Yes, it was one of their special suckers. They have the best meat in the Northwoods.
And that was from Elmer Select, right?
It was actually Elmer has his own special suckers that he keeps in the back for himself.
Mm-hmm.
And I was able to sneak one away from him.
It's like, have you ever shopped at Sam's Club? They have Sam's Choice.
Yeah.
Yep. This is Elmer's Choice. Elmer's Choice.
Elmer's Choice.
If you want a sucker that is guaranteed to catch 9 to 10 muskies before it dies, ask for an Elmer's Choice sucker.
He's got the best.
He's got the best.
He breeds them. He has all his own, it's all the genetic work that he's done.
Elmer's Super Suckers. Just like they're like they're the Captain America super soldiers of suckers. They're just
they basically can live on land for days.
No aerator needed.
No, 80 perfect.
You can soak these suckers in 80 degree water.
And Elmer, then put them in 40 degree water without
and just
shocking them.
Back and forth, they're fine. Ask for a Elmer Select. That's the one you want. Listen, if you guys don't know, me and the guru have a blood feud with Elmer there at the Muskie Shop. Blood feud.
Period. Most definitely.
Most definitely. Elmer's mean. Sorry. God. We love him. Elmer's funnier than heck, buddy. But now ask for Elmer Select suckers if you're in there. Only from Elmer, right there at the Muskie Shop. Now, in all seriousness, the Muskie Shop has some really good suckers in.
They're tough. They're tough as nails. After I caught this fish on the sucker, he was swimming around and just like, oh, I got eaten today. Just another Tuesday.
Just another Tuesday. Well, they're getting wild caught suckers, so they're pretty robust. There was a tweet up, might have been on Instagram and all that other stuff, but there was a Jim there at the Muskie Shop, like, he's holding this sucker, and it's just, like, meaner than, you know, it's just got some gumption to it. That thing was moving and grooving. You know, so they're getting wild-caught suckers in there. So, if you're looking to hang your meat this fall, that's the place to go. Tyler, just walk me through, because a couple people have asked, and this is just a way to just like cover some basic stuff. We've talked about quick strike rig, but go through that scenario again. How far are you keeping him off the boat? How do you lead the fish to him? Your rigging. You got a quick strike rigging video on how you hang your meat coming out this week on the app.
Yep.
Walk me through a hanging meat scenario there in the Northwoods.
So I'm usually with my dad in October when we're hanging meat. So we have like two suckers out. And so I usually have one far and one close. The close one is right off the back and it's kind of hanging out. So my dad can easily figure eight past it. Then I will figure eight in that direction.
Mm-hmm.
So if there's a following fish, he's within like 2 feet of that sucker, 3 feet of that sucker. So he's going to find it. I mean, it's like literally right there. right off the end of the boat. There's not much slack given out. I have my drag set real low so he can just take off with it. Then I have one far off the back of the boat, probably 15 to 20 yards, just in case there's just a fish out in the ether abyss of the lake, just putzing around that didn't. The abyss of the lake. If he's just out there, he'll take that sucker. Mm-hmm. So normally what I do if I have a fish follow, I will get crouched down low so I can really extend the tip of my rod towards the sucker bobber as much as I can. And I will figure eight past the sucker. And if the fish is still following, I'll keep figure eighting past the sucker. Maybe it'll take in the figure eight. If it disappears, I'll just keep driving that bait past the sucker until I feel confident that fish is gone. Then I'll make a couple casts around and see if, and keep watching that sucker bobber and see if it disappears. I mean, the big fish that I caught last weekend, I mean, she followed it once. She saw the boat, spooked off, and kept figure eighting past the sucker. I'd say maybe 4 minutes later, that bobber disappeared. That fish was just sitting there watching that sucker and decided to eat it. I mean, if I didn't figure eight past that sucker, she probably would have had a harder time finding it.
Right.
You know what I'm saying?
That's the one thing. People ask all the time about, do you fish live bait or can you fish live bait? Just because you have a piece of meat hanging out there doesn't mean that a muskie's going to come find it. It's a lot. You've got to be doing some casting to get them interested, to sort of bring them into the sucker. You're going, bite me, bite me, bite me. Come on. Give it a look.
You know? I mean, sometimes you have muskies just find your sucker. But if you want to increase your chances of catching a muskie on a sucker, figure it past the bobber. Figure eight past it.
I mean, with that being said, I've seen – there's one killer video from back in the day, old Meat Pena and Gillespie and a bunch of those guys up there on Eagle. They're fishing like the ice edge. That's a little different, though. You know what I'm saying? Because mm-hmm. the fish are, like, congregated, so you might not need to cast as much as just, like, having it there. So if you're drifting a sucker along a weed edge or working it around that – but if you're just really working the typical structure and breaks and weed edges and stuff like that, sometimes that cast is what's going to bring them in to check it out.
You know? Yeah, I mean, it's not like they're not always directly under your boat or directly behind your boat. I mean, Sometimes you have to bring them in.
No, they just follow me all day long. They're just trailing. Please. Please catch me. Please. Please.
Let me jump in your boat.
Not today, I'll tell you that much. I caught a sunburn today is what I did. It was so flat I thought about, oh, I'm just going to walk off the edge of the boat. Also had another snake incident today.
Oh, good Lord.
Dude, I had a copperhead coming in on a creeper. Yeah. And I went, what is that behind the bait? And you're sort of hoping it's like a dorsal or something. No, just a snake behind a creeper.
That's disgusting.
Yeah, I thought about just cutting the line, you know, move. No,
did you lose your phone this time?
No, I tell that story all the time. That was so dumb.
The best part of that story for me was when you walked into the Verizon store and the guy looked at you and he goes, "Hey, you need a new phone?" He didn't even say anything to him. He just knew.
He knew that, sir. You're dripping. You got a puddle there below you.
Man, Northwoods Adventures.
Northwoods Adventures. I'll be up there in a minute, though, by the way.
Manaqua Burger King.
I'm going to be where the people are, where the party is.
Yeah.
Jay from the Muskie Shop and me have a vacation plan. We're going to a water park together. Not a joke. Just gonna hang out. Just two dudes at a water park. Totally normal. No, that's not what's going on. Big announcements as far as the Muskie Shop Alunjo coming up. I'll be up in Minequa.
Minequa.
Is that Minequa?
Minequa.
Minequa.
Minocqua.
Minocqua.
We have some of the hardest city names to pronounce, I think, in the country.
Yeah.
Ours are crazy.
A lot of Indian names. We got some of that down here where you go, huh? Yeah, it's like I ask people, like, how do you say that still? By the way, they had a birthday party for John Mikniak at that same Burger King.
That's amazing.
Mm-hmm. No, it's sort of sad.
We have a lot of history at that Burger King.
That Burger King and me and you and the Guru, we go way back.
I mean, we like to play with the seagulls. One almost entered your truck there.
We called him Stephen's Seagull. Because he was nearly mine. Anyway, Guru, you're a loser.
I know I am. Yes.
Loser. Yep.
Loser. I have been my entire life. I've been horribly bullied about it.
Thank you for bringing it up. Rod loser. So anyway, you guys have heard us talking on the podcast about, hey, check out these Musky Shop shield rods because they're awesome and they're possum. Awesome possum shield rods. That is not the official name of the shield rod, but
it should be.
You know why they call it a shield rod, right?
What is that?
It will protect you from possums.
It's the only musky rod that can protect you from an opossum.
Opossum. Jay at the musky shop guarantees that rod will protect you from a possum.
Guaranteed.
If it doesn't, you can bring the possum to the musky shop and Jay will fight it. Guaranteed.
Poor Jay, someone's going
to
do it.
If you have a possum that, listen, take it to Jay. Jay loves possums. He runs a possum rescue there at his house. It's called Jay's Opossums. So, God, Tyler.
Oh, my gosh. Is this the Muskie podcast or the Marsupial podcast?
Listen, little factoid. North America's only marsupial is the opossum. Thank you. And good night.
They're fluffy and ugly.
They hiss. They're mean. They look greasy. I've never touched one, but I've never seen an animal that look greasier in my life.
I've pulled two out of my garage. They're pretty greasy. All they do is hiss, and they always have their mouth open, but they're kind of pushovers. Oh yeah,
love that. Did you take him?
Yeah.
Did you take him to Jay at the Musky Shop to trade them in for your shield rod? That's what he's running. It's like you can, like, if you bring Jay a possum, you get a shield
rod. Don't say it. Someone's going to do it.
No, this is not true. This is a joke. It does not exist. No. Do not. What we're saying right now is not true. Right. You cannot take a possum to the musky shop and get a shield rod in extra heavy or extra, extra heavy. Telescoping 9 foot. They will not trade you a possum for a shield rod. No.
Who would even think to do that? I mean,
Or will they? Find out on your own. Find out on your own.
Dun, dun, dun.
Ask Jay.
Bring the possum.
Get the shield rod. Bring the shield rod. Get the possum.
So, I don't even know how we got on a possum tangent.
I don't know, but we were talking about you being a loser because you lost your shield rod. Okay, let me set it up here.
Okay.
Tyler Andrews calls me and said, hey, Jay at the Musky Shop called and said I can go pick up my shield rods. Cool. Which ones do I got to have? I say, you got to have that 9 foot heavy. You got to have the extra heavy because it's for, you know, big baits, you know, because you're manly at this time. It's like Big Jake's headlocks, meat, the whole bit. You go in there and get the shield rods. You've had it for like 2.5 hours. And what do, you Dingledorf?
Well, I will explain it. There's also a nice video of me explaining it, but
on the app.
An ape. So I'm loving these new rods. I'm testing them out, and I'm like, you know what? I'm gonna go trolling. And I'm trolling. I snag a crib. As I'm trolling, right seconds before I snag this crib, I'm looking at the rod I'm about to lose. I see it hit the crib and instantly snap off.
Boom.
It broke my rod holder almost instantaneously. There was no like loading of the rod. It was just like poof, snap, gone. And I saw all my hopes and dreams sink before me.
He called me crying, folks. Tyler's a delicate,
bawling my eyes out.
Delicate man. Jay's gonna kill me. What do I do?
Oh my gosh! I was like, oh man, I have to stretch bottom for the next couple hours. It was snowing. It was a blizzard. I mean, it was just super cold. There was actually some hail too, hitting me. So that was pea-sized hail.
A lot of people are giving you thoughts and prayers for that one. Wow, everybody.
It was amazing. But anyway, I mean, what you told me to do, and it's a great trick. If anyone loses a rod, might as well give it a shot. Just cut the blades off a couple bucktails. A bunch of them. I did three. I put them all on 1 liter. And since I know it's connected to this one crib that I marked, if I made a complete circle around it, really slowly dragging bottom, eventually I'm going to snake the line or snake the rod. And after like an hour and a half, I eventually got my rod back with the rod holder and everything.
I've had a bunch of clients throw rods off the boat by accident or things happen. That is a trick for real. If you guys, and Tyler did a quick tip here on the app. If you ever lose your rod, take bucktails, just cut them up. Take the blades off so they're not even trying to spin. Put as many as you can on one snap, or like tie them straight onto the line. Get a bunch of hooks going. The other thing, Tyler, and I ask you if you had it, is the and this is even better. And I used to keep one on the boat, and you scared the heebie-jeebies out of me, so I need to have one on the boat again. You know the wire stringers?
Yep, I have one on the boat right now.
Like, it's the metal ones, and they're snaps. They look like giant, like, lure clips. Yep. Those are the best for retrieving rods. You actually tie them onto a line, and you throw them out and let them hit the bottom. So now you've got all these little hooks and tendrils. You're going to dredge up crap. You're going to dredge up a tree branch or, you know, something that somebody didn't want you to see at the bottom of the lake. You know, their meemaw. But they dumped her there. Later, meemaw. Psh, gone. But you'll get your rod back. You'll get your rod back, Tyler.
I got it back. I'm that cool. Not really.
Anyway. Man, dude. I'm tired. It is. Woo. It's Pepsi 30. Hold on here.
Pepsicated.
It's better to burn out than fade away, boys. That's all I'm going to say. I am beat. Anyway, Tyler, I am so glad that we were able to share the possum shield rod trade-in program. Only valid on Tuesdays in October that correspond to Druid holidays. Please do not, Tyler. Say it with me again.
Please do not bring a possum to the musket shop.
Please do not bring a possum to the musket shop. That's all I'm saying.
Wink.
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 Wink. Wank, wink. Listen, you won't get a free rod to take a possum to Jay at the muskie shop.
You won't.
Wink, wink, you... nudge, nudge.
Huh?
Or
yes? No?
Huh?
Huh?
Will you? I don't know.
The possibilities are endless.
The possum abilities are endless. How bad do you want a bad do you want a shield rod? Possibilities.
Oh my gosh, this is awful.
Listen.
This is the Musky Possum Podcast.
Don't do it. Do not try to trade a possum for an amazing, the best rod I've ever thrown, Musky Shop Shield Rod.
It's the best. I'm feeling real jazzy today, man. I'm just like,
you
calm.
Got hot jazz just going everywhere. It's unbelievable. The bottom raiders are unbelievable. The genre breaking versatility is unbelievable. Death metal.
Everybody's eating it up. It's great.
Death metal, hot jazz. Think of the possibilities.
Ah, you're a punny man.
Listen. Shield rod. Possum. Possibilities. Unlimited. Anyway, we're going to go ahead and move on. We got a little thing here, folks. A little bit of fan mail. John says, I would be sniffing the double cowgirls and the supermodels. Even sniffing grandma would be better than sniffing a Jake or Medusa guru. What's wrong with you? I know, it's not a question yet. He says, about the time I think you two can't get any stupider, you take it to a no low. You guys are the poster children for the Special Olympics of musky fishing. Sincerely, John. He actually signed it Slime Searly. That's amazing. We are the poster children for special musky fishing.
We're pretty dumb.
Mm-hmm.
And also, Steve and I have talked about, there is a lot wrong with me.
There is a lot wrong. Tyler's got a lot of damage. You know.
I sniff a lot of different baits.
You know what? It doesn't take too much to make him cry either. Not much. Not much at all.
I mean, if you just smile at me wrong, I might shed a tear. It's rough. It's rough. It's rough being the guru.
It is. The tears of a clown.
I will say this. Musky Shop shield rods smell the best out of all the rods. They smell pretty good.
That was pretty shameless, Tyler.
I'm a shameless man.
Modern people do not like shameless plugs. Listen. They don't.
They don't like it.
I caught a 50-incher on a shield rod this week. Ooh, shameless plug. Anyway, Jake says, sad story. I had a great Okuma rod and reel combo that was recommended to me by the guys at the Musky Shop. That's cool. He said, my wife and I recently moved, and the rod and reel both got ran over with the truck, crushing both beyond repair or even recognition. But I took your advice and got him. Okay, this is literally, okay. You know how I just said shameless plug? This is seriously, I tell everybody, we don't read these in order. He said, I took your advice and bought a new Musky Shop shield rod. Oh, this is not.
Oh, yeah.
He said, Jay at the Musky Shop took a subprime possum in trade for it, which he usually doesn't do. But I brought a small possum in. He gave me full trade value towards a 9-foot shield rod. Okay, that didn't happen, but. Tyler.
Yeah.
The Musky Shop will not take a possum in trade for the shield rod.
I mean, stop thinking about that, guys. I mean, where did you get this from?
Question mark. Anyway,
question mark,
he
wink.
Said, my question is, I'm debating putting a round reel like Half Spool Steve uses on the rod and would consider myself a novice bait caster user. I used to reel with brakes and spool. I'm used to a reel with brakes and spool tension. Do you think I could stick with a little more user-friendly reel for now, or the thumb burner's not that bad for a novice to use? Okay. Number one, Musky Shop shield rods are not an equal trade to a possum. I'm sorry. I think it's funny. I know Jay's like, please stop, Steve. Please stop.
Someone's going to do it.
He's got so many possums already. There's too many possums. Anyway, man, I'm in trouble now. Okay. So what he's noted is this, and actually I do like one thing I will say is this, even we're talking rods, the Akuma rods are cool, all this stuff, but he went with the 9 foot model from the Muskie Ship.
Ship.
Dude, the reason I use round rails is this. I'm a true lefty. All the low I can't talk. Did you see, by the way, and this is like, I feel like such, guys, you've listened enough to the podcast. We are like pushing the shield rods. I'm sorry. But did you watch the video that just came out from the Muskie Shop where I'm doing like a straight up commercial for the Muskie Shop with the rods and stuff? Like, I can't even talk. Like, we do the podcast every week. I'm like, new from the Muskie Shop. it's like a slur. I got this little, like, I have this weird little left side of my mouth kook thing, and I watched it. I'm like, it's so cringy. Anyway, what it is I fish round reels because I'm a true lefty. So I reel with my left hand. All the low profile reels that come in a left-hand model are sort of subpar compared to the low profile reels in right-hand models. So I stick with round reels because I know how to repair them. I have a ton of parts. The only other thing I'd say about the round bait casters versus all the cool new Lexas and Tranks and all that stuff, the round reels are really easy to fix. Abu Garcia has been making pretty much the same reels for a billion, quadrillion years. The guts of them change a little bit, but I have reels that my grandfather and dad used back in the day, and I could still steal parts from them. So that's cool. That's why I use them. The other thing is this, and it came up on the boat today. That's why I'm sort of harping on this. Is those round reels, they don't have as much drag as the new reels, right? I like that. I've never caught a muskie, and I've caught a couple 40 inchers before, one or two. And in those few big fish I've ever caught, they never pulled any drag. Caught a 38 one time, couldn't pull the drag. I'm teasing. I've caught some like Mondo Hondo chodes. And Tyra, we've got some on film. You've been with me. On those round reels, there's not 25 pounds, 30 pounds of drag. There's like 13 pounds of drag. Even with me cranked all the way down, those fish can pull drag even cranked all the way down. What I don't like about the low profile reels is they have like 25 pounds of drag. That's enough drag to break a fish off.
Yeah, it's true.
I'm just telling you what I'd tell anybody. For a time, I fished a Lexa 400 left-handed model. It is the only time I've ever set the hook on a muskie. I know it was a muskie. I saw it hit, and I broke a fish off. Just snap. Kapow-pow. Broke him off. My drag was tighter than where I'd had it set, and I just checked it probably an hour or so before. I don't like being overgunned. That's my thing. So what I did with Alexa is I took one of the drag plates out to lower the overall drag because the new modern reels have way more drag than you'll need for any muskie that's in any body of water. I've not had a muskie that I couldn't stop with 12 pounds of drag. That's just me. Maybe your body of water is different. Maybe your fish are different. I don't need that crazy amount of drag to stop a muskie. That's just my personal experience. So the reason I don't make the switch to low profile is I'm left-handed. Left-handed reels are sort of hard to come by. The Boo Garcia left-handed reels are the closest thing to a dime a dozen in a left-handed model. And when it comes for a right-handed angler, it doesn't matter because the lack of drag is actually a benefit in my opinion. I got plenty of hook set power, but I don't have to worry about, is my drag like way cranked down if that thing hits right boat side or anything like that. Mm-hmm. And dude, and this is another thing. I'm getting off, not off topic, but I'm running a tangent here, which would be drag is one of those things, that subject matter is so odd because you can talk about it. We can say it should feel like, until you feel the proper drag setting,
you don't know what it is.
The one thing I can tell you is check it at the end of your rod.
Yep.
The drag at the reel face, everybody grabs the line right there at the pawl, right there at the front of the reel, and pulls on it, and they go, that feels right, and pull it at the end of the, pull it from where the fish is pulling.
You know what I got? I got a big eye screw right outside on a tree outside my garage. Mm-hmm. I just take a bucktail, put the hook on that, and test the drag like that.
Right.
And if it pulls back, because most of the time I'm by myself, I don't have a second person to, you know, check it with me. So I just do it that way, and you know, it's a good way to set the drag.
Mm-hmm. Is that the same tree you cry under? Is that your crying tree?
No, that's a Douglas fir.
That's a Douglas fir. Oh, man. Inside joke, Douglas fir.
Douglas fir.
Wow. Watch out what Douglas fir you touch in the North Woods. Anyway, Ohio Brian says, "What?" And let's get to this, Tyler. I'm just on a rip-roar rager this evening. Why do people from Ohio have to put Ohio in for their name here?
Huh. Maybe it's just an Ohio thing. You know, I'm from Ohio. Don't insult my fellow Ohioans.
That's a scary thing, is we're both actually, I always say West Virginia. I did go to high school in Ohio. You were born in Ohio, right?
Yep.
Wow. Wow. Kindred spirits. Birds of a feather. Okay, Ohio. But we don't say Ohio, Tyler.
No, it's just, it's weird.
Yeah.
Don't do that.
Don't do that, Ohio people. Because I got multiples this week. It'd be like, Ohio Dave. Okay. As someone that has one of their many tattoos that I have, there is the outline of the state of Ohio as part of one of mine. It's a long, long, large piece. You know, I don't put Ohio in front of my name.
Ohio Steve.
Ohio Steve.
MC Ohio Steve.
Actually, let's say I'm thinking, Tyler, about getting a muskie tattoo. Bad idea, good idea.
Yeah, do whatever you want. America.
It's America.
America.
It's muskie country. Man. Listen, that screen is getting blurry at this point. I don't know. What do you think, man? I was thinking about down my forearm. Is that stupid? Actually, podcast list, is a muskie.
I think it's cool.
Is a muskie tattoo stupid or cool? Because this is what I do. I do it every day and like live them, breathe them, eat them, sleep them. I don't eat them. Okay, let's back that up. I don't eat muskies, but you know, theoretically, you know, but it's with. I'm thinking. I've been contemplating. It's been a minute. I was just thinking about the muskie tattoo. My friend,
I think it'd be cool. I've always thought about one, but I have no idea what I want it to look like, so I'm not going to get one.
What if you get a quick set rig on your neck that said "Suckers for Life"?
I was thinking about getting a sucker tattooed down the middle of my chest.
Kiss me like a sucker. I don't know. My friend Josh up in, like, I don't know, he lives somewhere between you guys mark your cities by Menards, right? Menards East, Menards West.
Yeah. Thank you for that.
Right. He lives somewhere in the Menards territory. He's got a really cool muskie tattoo on his arm.
Cool.
It's a muskie driving an 18-wheeler that says "Big rigs don't quit." not really. I don't know. Send us your opinion. What do you guys think of muskie tattoos? Is it stupid? Is it cool? Would you get a muskie 360 tattoo? There it is.
Oh snap.
There it is.
Oh snap. There it is.
You win the entire company's Juniors in Line. You take over ownership of Juniors in Lines. No. Do we dare?
we do dare.
Okay, think about it, folks. Oh, man, I was, like, really not even thinking that. We were just thinking, like...
Is someone going to get... One of our listeners going to get a Musky 360 tattoo?
I don't know. Let's think about that till the end. That's horrible. Don't do it. But if you want to... I can't even think of what it would be like.
But if you want to...
You win a month guide trip with the guru. You and the guru become best friends.
we'll fish on the 13th month of the year.
13th month of the end. Anyway, back to reality. Oop. Ohio Brian says, hey, girl, hey. He said, I'm about to go on my first ever Muskie guide trip soon. What are some pet peeves for guides that I should avoid triggering them on my trip? Wow, good question. Number one, be quiet. Don't make eye contact and don't say a word all day. I'm teasing.
I would recommend you use the guide's gear because it's up to what? Up to his
what is it he expects. Yeah. The thing is this, and back to where I was just talking about left-handy stuff. Okay, let me say this, and this is my only pet peeve that I have, and this is just honesty here. If you have questions, get them out in one go. Tyler, you've been on the boat with me where it's this, like, text-a-thon all day. Yeah. And I love my clients. A lot of my clients listen to the podcast, and it's awesome. And a lot of the ones that listen to podcasts know that it's like a pet peeve, like, don't text me, hey, man, how big of a cooler can we bring? And then you text me 2 hours later, do I need sunscreen? And then you text me 2 hours later, do you provide rain gear? Most guides are going to have it on their website, or they're going to let you know, here's what I provide, here's what you need to bring. Clarify that. Don't. I call it nickel and diamond. Don't nickel and diamond with dumb questions, like before the trip. You know what I'm saying? Because
yeah.
I get worried. And I'm just being, I'm always so freaking honest on the podcast, I swear, where I'm just like, this is it. I get edgy about a client if they're blowing me up, right? Another thing I'd say is, as a guide, I know you're excited, right? I know you're excited. It's cool. It's very cool. I want you to be excited about your day on the water. I want you to be excited about whether it's 1 day or 3 days or 10 days or whatever we're doing. I want you to be excited, but you don't have to text all day, every day, or call all day, every day about the trip, right? So be concise and be smart about, not smart, but be thrifty in how much you do leading up to the text as far as conversation about questions. Number two, don't ask about how the bite has been. Right? It will not change your trip. What I always tell everyone, I have a canned answer for that. I get it all the time. How's the bite? What's going on? I always say it's great. That's just it. Like, if you've got a trip booked and, like, you think the guide's going to be, man, it sucks.
Like, you go, oh, man.
The wheels are falling off the wagon, right? The world is falling apart. Nothing is good, and I can't find a muskie. No one's going to tell you that. So don't, and it's not a dumb question. I'm going to just say this, though. Don't ask a question like that. Expect a answer that is like anything other than, yeah, man, everything's great. That's what I say, because I don't want to, as a guide that does this nonstop, I don't want to have to deal with yesterday. I don't, because the guy that I had yesterday is different than you and different from the guy I'm going to have tomorrow. And a lot of times a guide trip success is dictated by how well a client adapts to what the guide's asking him to do. Right? One of my biggest things is like trying to get people to slow down. If you won't, mm-hmm. if you won't slow down and do what I'm asking you to do, I know how the day's going to go. And there's only so many times I'm like, chill out, slow down, stop burning it. We don't need to, you know, it's high, bright sun, dead, flat, calm. Let's stop bulging the bucktail. You know, everyone wants hot fish. Sometimes it's just like, it's not the case. Don't pester your guide about how the bite has been. You hired them because you trusted that they know what's going on. Right? And you're not going to get like, they're not going to say, hey man, yeah, they're hitting it sunset only, or they're hitting on moonrise only. Just don't waste the energy because it's slightly annoying. As far as how to conduct yourself on the guide trip, just chill out. I know every day, and I call you, Tyler, every day I call you in the truck. We talk, usually if I'm driving to the lake, we talk at least 20 minutes, if not an hour, depending on when I'm going, right?
Yep.
And if anything I can tell you, I worry every day. I walk out of the door and I put my reputation on the line. And I take it so seriously that I don't stop. Whether I have to, it takes me 8 hours or it takes me 10 hours. There's days I don't sleep. Literally, where I come home, like right now, it's super late. It took me a long time to get one in the boat today. I couldn't help it. And now I'm doing the podcast. It's like, I will kill myself to make sure that nobody goes home mad. That's my goal. If you got a good guide, they're going to give it everything they got. So just chill out and let the guide do what he's doing. I'm trying to think, man, of just like from a guiding perspective. Some days suck. That's it. Some days are awful. My prime example of that is me, you, Joe Booker, Lake of the Woods, 3 days, no fish.
I don't even think we moved one. It was awful.
It was awful. The other thing I love to pull up is Jeremy Wade on my lake, on Eagle Lake in Ontario, 13 days, didn't catch one. If you ever watch River Monsters, it's called Canadian Horrors. Jeremy Wade goes to Eagle Lake, and I always jokingly say to people, what do you think Jeremy Wade's budget is for a trip for Discovery Channel or Animal Planet?
Monstrous.
Whatever it costs. 13 days, no muskie. So, some days are going to be bad. How does the guide handle that becomes the question, right? It is a rare bird that nothing happens on my boat. There's a dude that's really cool that's a buddy of mine that's been down a couple of times. It's like every time he comes down, it's like dead flat calm, high bright sun, water levels falling, post-frontal, apocalyptic crap show. To the point I'm sitting here going, why are you even hanging out with me? You know, but the way I'm like, man, don't worry about it. You know, I bat a really high percentage, but sometimes things fall apart. I'm not going to say what a guide should do, but you can sort of feel out how he handles that. I'm really confident in what I'm doing, so I handle it in a certain way. That's one thing. As far as the guides into thing of how you should act, just be chill. I'm trying to think, man, because this is a great topic. Don't try to go tit for tat on what you know. You know what I'm saying?
As far as trying to impress the guide?
Yeah, you're the client. You know, you're go into it as I'm here to learn something or be shown something, right? Like, the guide is in charge. Don't sit here and all day long and tell him how awesome you are, right? If he's a professional guide, he's doing it probably more in a month than you've done in the last 5 years, which is fine. And I learn from every client. but I don't need somebody jumping on the boat and tell me how awesome they are, right? I don't need to hear like, I've slayed them. That's fine. It's cool. I don't. At least me, I don't care about how many people. Like, dude, I just don't care how many muskies anybody's caught. I don't care. It's just like, it's a stupid fish with teeth and the brain the size of a pea. Whatever. But don't come in like sanctimonious and like pushy and with an ego. You know what I'm saying? Don't hire a guide and then prove to the guide how awesome you are. Be malleable. Be willing to learn. That's what you're there for, right? Don't hire the guide and then show up and act like you know everything. Show up, be chill. Now, on the other side of the coin, don't put up with a guide that's a b-hole.
Never. That's no fun. I mean, you're paying money for a bad experience. Come on,
right? If the guy's got an ego, you know, if he thinks he's like, you know, God's gift to musky fishing, don't let a guide take your casts.
That's true. There are a lot of guides that will fish in front of you and catch all the fish.
Now, with that being said, one thing is like boat positioning and things I do, and people that fish with me, if we're fishing on moving water or certain areas, a lot of times, because I've been hooked pretty bad, I'll be in the front. But there's a certain cast you can make that doesn't really cut a client off. You need to make those casts. But if the guy's not handing the rod, right? If your guide's going to hook a fish and you're going to take it, that's different from if the guide is hooking fish and reeling them in.
Yeah, then you're just paying to watch him go catch fish.
And I've never... The one thing I'll tell you, and anybody that's been on my boat, I always hand the rod. And I tell people, I'm not here to catch fish. I'm not here to catch a muskie. And you're not paying me to take my picture. That's one of my biggest pet peeves as a guide of I do not want a client to come on the boat and watch me catch a fish and take a picture of me holding a fish. That is ridiculous. Yeah. Right? If you're...
I mean, who wants to pay for that?
Nobody. And if you're a client, that's something you need to ask your guide. Hey, are you going to fish during the day? And he's going to go, yes. And you go, if you hook a fish, what's going to happen? Musky fishing to me is a team sport. You shouldn't have to net a client's fish at all.
Right? How many guides fish?
Yeah, if a guide's fishing, he's the net man always. Take the rod from him. You fight it in. You get a little extra experience of fighting a muskie in. That's a team effort fish. Right? The way I do things, and this is, I love this subject, and I'm just pontificating, spitballing here. When I'm casting as a guide, when I'm throwing baits, I want to be doing something different than what should be working, right? So, like today, small downsized cranks, Lungeon 22 shorts, Chad Shads have been working pretty well on this one body of water. What I'm throwing today is I'm throwing a big old DF Shum Shum. Not what should be working, right? Only action we had all day comes on that DF Shum Shum. Yesterday, it was all about the Lungeon 22 shorts. So... I was trying to get ahead of the next bite. I'm trying to do something that maybe and I always ask my clients, I say, what baits do you like to throw? What are you comfortable with? 99% of the time they say, I really love throwing bucktails and I'm pretty good with rubber. Right? Well, the only person throwing bucktails and rubber that day is a client. And I will try to fill in around their game. Another thing, if you have something you want to learn from your guide, tell them during the day and say, hey, I really want to work on fishing Suix. I really want to work on fishing gliders. I really want to work on twitch and minnow baits. Can we stop the boat at some time during the middle of the day and you teach me how to work these baits. That's
that. I love that. I love that. Yeah.
And
you've
been
with, you want to learn, man, and you have the golden opportunity.
Right. And you've been with me, Tyler, and we've stopped and like, you've actually, Tyler's been on guide trips with me as sort of a third wheel on the boat. And you were with me with a client where it was, we were talking glide baits. And I stopped for what, 20 minutes, 30 yep. minutes and go, here's what I know. And that's part of the experience. Right? You own them for the day. And my clients, they own me for the day. If you want to go out there and you want to go through the tackle box and you want to learn how to throw every bait, and I will show you as much as I can stand to show you until you're done listening, I will work with you as best as I can. I'll say, this is what works for me. It might not work everywhere, but this is what I do. How do you use this bait? How do you use that bait? Don't be afraid to ask those questions, right? That is what a guide is for. Okay. With that being said, is like, if a guide does not want to set you down and have a tutorial or stop the boat for a few minutes and teach, that's not what I'm out there for. I want to learn about how to retrieve these baits, how to improve my retrieve. So it's not about that one trip. It's about the rest of my fishing career. So that's a big thing for me. What else? Oh man, this is like, like I said, guiding all the time. This is what I'm thinking about, but,
soapbox.
Yeah, it's soapbox, but
I love it though. This is
but
great.
It's good stuff.
I'm just enjoying listening. Yeah.
You know, stuff that's bad is like
getting yelled at all the time.
Yeah. Like if you're with a guy that's yelling at you, get off the boat.
Just say, take me in. I've gone on those trips when I was younger, and just don't deal with it.
Don't deal with it. There's no need for it. I'm out here every day. I guide hard as anybody in the business. And buddy, you better believe I'm out there smiling. And don't deal with that junk. Don't deal with egos. They're not better than you. They just happen to be on the water more. So don't put up with that crap. But then on the other hand, don't be harsh on the guide. It is musky fishing. Musky fishing is stupid. So another thing is this, is like my clients and the guys, they listen. I tell them all the time, like, let's have realistic expectations. Right? Don't come out and be like, I'm going to crush my PB. Probably not.
Come out, hey, I'm gonna catch a 55-incher today.
Not gonna happen.
All right. You can dream big, buddy.
Yeah, come out and go, I want to learn, and I want to catch a muskie. Muskie. I can't even say it. I'm getting so tired.
Muskalunjo.
Muskagunjo. Kunja kunjo. But come out and go, I want to learn as much as I can, and I want to have a great day on the water. That makes the day so much easier. Right? On the other hand, don't take crap from a guide. If the guy's not talking to you, he's a jerk. If he's not being polite, get off the boat and tell him to forget this, buddy. Right? Don't put up with like jerks. Right? Don't put up with sanctimonious stuff. Yes, you can't cast as well as the guide. Yes, you're gonna bird's nest. I tell people two things all the time. Hook sets are free, right? So if you're getting snagged, I don't care. You hit a piece of wood, set the hook in it. I'll go get the bait out, right?
Mm-hmm.
And my other joke is if you get caught in a tree, I always say, if you're going to fish for squirrels, you ought to use nuts. But I don't bust anybody's stones about getting caught in wood and trees and stuff. It's part of the game. I'm still usually good for like one minor bird's nest a day, always, you know, because I'm not paying attention. So, you know, don't like I've seen guys get huffy about it. It's like, okay, you know, they're acting like, oh, because you had to go retrieve a bait out of a snag that it blew the spot. Well, you better have more spots because it's going to happen. So that's the thing. There's a balance there. It takes for a cool to guide trip. It takes respect from both parties. That's it. Another thing is this is be on time, both parties. If the guide says we're going to launch at 9, be there at 9. Be there at 8:50 minimally. Be ready to go. Have your license. Have your stuff. If you're going to bring your own gear, discuss it beforehand. And like I said, to summarize, make sure you, if all your questions are in one text, and get it over with, and don't bother the guy because he's usually on the water. But just be cool. You know, trust your guide. You hired him for a reason. And like I said, but also don't take any guff from these guys. Just because they're a musky guy doesn't mean they're way cool. It's a job. You know? Tyler, anything else, or have I just gone on for way too long on that?
You're just a rambling man.
I apologize.
I'm kidding.
I know.
I just enjoyed listening to you talk about that. I mean, it was so spot on.
Pat says, okay, for the past 3 years on my lake in south central Wisconsin, I'm not going to say the name of the lake. You guys don't have to put lake names in your questions. Send waypoints to Stephen Paul. he says, for the last 3 years on my lake in south central Wisconsin, every year it produces well for muskies in the spring and the summer. But when fall knocks on the door, it seems like they develop an eating disorder or grow legs and run away. There's always pressure, especially this year, until fall rolls around. Everyone either heads to a deer stand or most just get frustrated and call a season. This leaves pretty much me alone on the lake. So I have fished for the last 3 weekends with absolutely nothing. I've had been marking a lot of fish, a lot of them in the 14 to 20 feet of water, marking a few on the steep rock cliffs and deep water. The water temps are about 54 degrees in the bays and 60 in the deeper water. I've also tried casting over the brush piles in about 14. He said, I've been throwing medusas, jointed and regular raiders, bulldogs, big blades. He's been trolling. I'm summarizing, blah, 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 blah. Any thoughts to help me out? I'm determined to figure this out and have this lake to myself.
First off, I would say go to a different lake. That lake is most likely experiencing turnover probably right now.
Yeah.
When you're fishing it. If it's at those water temps, it's experiencing turnover or right about to, or it's in the process. Fishing sucks when that happens.
Yeah.
It's just... you might get lucky and catch one, but you just dodge turnover, man. Get out of there. Go somewhere else. I mean,
yeah.
I launched on lakes last weekend. Saw the water temp went up. I'm leaving. It's not even worth it. You're gonna have a hard time catching the muskie. Come back in a couple of weeks.
Gonna be tough, bro. If that's all you got, though, suspending baits.
Yep.
Suspending baits, double D's, triple D's, suspending depth fish, baits that'll hang and they'll go, oh, that moved, I'll go check it out. That or dragon meat.
Nailed it.
Anyway, that would be our take. Let us know, how'd you do? Did it fix anything for you? Who knows?
Are we just stupid?
Are we stupid? Should we get musky tattoos? Are we idiots? Let us know at Ask a Pro on that. Robert says, I just listened to the latest podcast. You said you read every email. I love your latest review of Culver's awesomeness, LMAO. Keep up the good work, guys. Seriously good info. Muskies, burgers, lame cod sandwiches, butter burgers, and curds. Guy wrote the whole email just to say cod sandwiches are lame, dude.
They're good. They are good. I'm going to say that right now.
If you're 60. Bob says, hey, guys, love the podcast. I live in central Wisconsin, mainly fish in the Wisconsin River because it's 10 minutes from my house. I know fishing by the dams is really good. In the late fall, and I guess so does everyone else. It's not the biggest area and can get kind of congested. This year, it's been really hard to find big meat suckers. I'm wondering where the muskies go when the water temps drop in the rivers. Keep up being just dumb enough on the podcast to make it through. My Thursday at work is always a little bit better. Aww.
It warms my heart.
If you need big meat, go to the muskie shop. They got the biggest meat in the Northwoods, baby.
Oh, they got monsters. Those guys were showing some of their suckers. I went, holy moly, I didn't even know they made them that big.
Didn't know they got that big, boys. What are they doing? I mean, again, we get in this time of year and water temps are all over the place. Top water to jigging. And it can be a day-to-day thing.
Yeah, it just gets... It's wacky mode. It's crazy.
For a minute. And it's...
Yeah.
And I've... Trust me, my repertoire is going from pacemakers and fat bastards and creepers and top raiders to Bondies and everything in between. I mean, It's just like I have the front of my boat looks like a tackle box exploded.
That's every day, though. It looks crazy. Blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah, and they just blew up my tackle box. you know, that's pretty much how my boat looks. A F5 tornado hit the Muskie shop. That's what my boat looks like. It's a mess. But I'm trying everything. I have tubes. I've caught a Muskie on tubes. I caught one on a mega monster Medusa. And I caught one
real big one, that real crazy big one you have?
That was on a 10-inch Phantom.
Mm.
Right? And then I caught one on a big Norm that was crazy big. And then, like, a client lost one off a twin-tail bulldog. And it's just like, everything works and nothing works all at once.
They can't make up their minds about what they want to eat.
Some days it's like this time of year, it can be like monster baits, downsize. It's everywhere you go. Each body of water is going to be different, and it's going to be different between Monday and Tuesday. It just is. That's the gross part about this transitional time of year where you have some, just musky fishing is always this where you have loose parameters, right?
Yeah.
But right now, the parameters couldn't be looser.
It's loosey-goosey, man.
It is loosey-goosey. Mike, you got to try it all. But don't try the cod sandwich. That's just gross. Anyway.
How dare you? I know you like that sandwich. You tried it. Don't sass me, you young whippersnapper.
That's a lie. I know. I've never eaten cod, and I refuse.
Call them out, folks.
Dwayne says, listen to your latest podcast. Def thought about saying podcast. Oh, he said, listen to your latest podcast. Definitely thought about saying podcast, but everyone does. He said, we're out dragging our meat in southern Wisconsin, and this beauty decided to eat. Measured 48.5. 15 minutes later, her little sister was all over my brother-in-law's meat. Measured 40 inches. Sucker season is here, and they love the meats. Thank you very much.
I love it.
I'm glad your brother-in-law was able to get some action on his meat as well. It's meat season, boys. Thine meat.
You just got to dangle it off the edge of the boat.
All right, Giselle. Not the supermodel married to Tom Brady, but Giselle with... Oh. I just noticed that. Giselle over Tom. Okay, never mind. There's a joke in this guy's name, and I'm not going to read it out loud. He says, love the pod meow. Okay. We've gone from podcat, or we went from podcast to podcat to pod meow, maybe?
I don't like it.
What if we just go love the... love that. I just had a stroke. Love the podcat. I'm Canadian and have never heard anyone ever call a muskie a cabbage dragon. But glamly slam whatever Pepsi that dude's sipping.
I've heard them called Cabbage Dragons. Cabbage Dragons.
Listen, Canadians out there, there's 17 people that live in your country. What's the consensus?
It's true. It's very true.
I need to know. A, is Cabbage Dragon a legit term? B, what's that dude sipping? C, musky tit. I've heard Cabbage Dragon. Not my favorite musky name, but whatever. Maybe that guy, maybe the person that said Cabbage Dragon to me wasn't very Canadian, eh?
Yeah, you know.
Eh?
Not.
Once again, why do you guys call raccoons Rakens?
Trailer Park Boys.
Trailer Park Boys. Deerts. Why do you guys call them Deerts up there? Said, what's up with that, Cabbage Dragon boy, in your Deerts? Anyway, he says, I have experience charting lake muskies, but want to start fishing the Niagara River. I can't talk, folks. Niagara River. A bunch of questions. When trolling, do you troll upstream or downstream? Do your tactics or baits change depending on which direction you troll? If trolling downstream, do you go faster than the current to induce bait action? Okay, we're going to stop there and break that down. I prefer to troll upstream because of boat control, right? Trolling downstream, baits are not running as deep, right? You do have to get baits at depth. You have to run faster. I don't like to do it, but most muskies are setting facing upstream, right? Little trick trolling rivers is stopping the boat or holding it in place and matching the flow with the baits at depth and like sort of giving them pauses where they wiggle in place. That's a little trick there. And he said, do you go faster than the current bait action? I'll ask you, water clarity can depend on wind direction, blah, 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 blah. Long question here. He's asking about water sediment. So let's break this down. Trolling a river is a whole other ballgame. You've got to find pockets and eddies. You've got to sort of make sure you're pausing in the right places. And by pausing, I mean matching the boat to hold in place. So the baits and everything are paced out. So they're down there, they're holding at depth and are wiggling around there. What I will do often is I will just make my back, like if I'm making a pass on something that looks really good, I'll just turn the boat and make a downstream pass arbitrarily without changing the bait depth too much. And I've picked up fish doing it. But I worry more about the upstream. Maybe somebody, I'd love to hear it. If somebody's got some like masterful downstream trolling trick, that'd be cool. I don't do it that often. I've done it like with the trolling motor and planer boards and some shallow running stuff. But for anything that's a little bit deeper, I'm always working on an upstream kind of thing. Water clarity. I mean, he's asking, do you think the muskies turn on or off with water clarity? Yeah, they do.
Mm-hmm.
Always. Just wherever you go. And he said, how would you approach fishing the clear versus dirty water? Clear water, I'm going to go deeper. I'm going to go slower. Dirty water, I'm going to go brighter baits. I'm going to go faster. That's me. But trolling upstream is sort of a tricky art. Your baits are always going to run deeper. So I try to keep them on a shorter leash. I'm trying to think what else. If you get to troll downstream, a lot of weight and a lot of speed, you know, because with the drift, like what I have to do is you have to figure out the speed of the drift and you have to get above it to get any action, which is tricky. But I would focus on upstream, and when it comes to the clear water, like I said, change your speed, change your bait. Carl, we got so many questions. It's super late. Leon says, hey, so yeah, I've been fishing for muskie since I was a children.
I love it.
Yeah, I've been fishing for muskie since I was a children. I'm now a major baiter. Love working all the baits, but have mainly moved towards baits that will disintegrate if lost. What does that mean? In other words,
what?
Okay. He says, in other words, metal that rusts in hair. Less and less on the rubber. I'm trying to eliminate lead. Okay. I see what. Hold on. Give me a second. All right. So this guy is very eco-conscientious. So he's saying, I'm trying to use less lead, and I'm trying to use baits that will disintegrate and rust out. In other words, metal that rusts and hair. He's trying to use less rubber and less lead and less lures that could become ecologically damaging if they were lost. He said, do you see clients losing many lures? He said, trolling can be a big lure loser. Big rubber is the worst. I just hate the thought that all the lead-filled Magnum Bulldogs slowly adding soluble lead into our waterways. In a perfect world, we wouldn't be using lead weighting baits. Right? Lead, yep. Lead is a toxin, and it's not good for water. You know, at least we shouldn't be having lead added to the water. With that being said, I don't know how many baits you have to add into a waterway to really add to the parts per million, and what the breakdown of how much that lead's going to be dissolved in the water. I've seen bass guys using, like, was it tungsten or something expensive?
Yep. It's expensive.
That's
very
the problem.
Expensive.
If you want a $93 Bulldog, ask for one with tungsten or something. And I'm just making that up. I don't know if it, I mean, maybe we'll move that way, and maybe we could get musky lures that don't have lead in them, but I know it's going to be pricey. So you would have to absorb the cost.
Yeah.
I don't, honest to goodness, know. And I don't think anybody really has a metric for what the ecological impact would be of losing lures in a lake.
It'd probably have to be quite a bit. Plus, like, if you're losing hard baits, that lead is encased in, like, plastic hard baits where water can't penetrate. Right. So I don't really know if it's leaking out of it, or if it's leaking out of a Bulldog. That's rubber. That's going to take thousands of years to break down. So,
but that's the problem, though, dude. That is, like, a lost lure is I like what the guy's saying, because a lost lure is essentially litter.
Yeah, it is. That's true.
I've thought about, wonder if you snag a lure in a tree, wonder if a fish, like, ever just bumps into it and gets foul hooked.
That would be crazy.
Whether it be a crappie, or whether it be a catfish, or, you know, it's not good.
No.
One thing I'll tell you is this, is, like, all the modern hooks, there's been so much to be said about hooks that are, like, rust-proof. The old adage that a hook would rust out of a fish is over with.
Doesn't exist anymore.
Like, if you break a fish off, that hook is in that thing. Until he can shake it, or until he, like, rips it out, or until he's dead.
Mm-hmm.
The time it takes for one of these hooks to break down is an inordinate amount of time. I don't think you would have a problem with lead seepage. Let's say you lost a Phantom. I don't think in any of our lifetimes that lead's ever going to be able to get out of that bait. But if you lose a bucktail, that's raw lead that's just sort of added to the ecosystem. You know, and I don't have any real answers there, and it's a neat thought process. But, you know, maybe, and so it's just the thing is, like, okay, you know, Pete Maina is probably one of the biggest advocates against musky mortality that I know, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know, and you got a guy that's just, like, adamant about it, and I respect it, and it's really cool. You know, maybe we're going to end up with a guy someday that's talking about our ecological impact with our fishing habits. You know, I mean, like, maybe somebody should pick that up. I used to think when I was running two strokes, man, I'm sitting here, got, you know, I'm pumping exhaust into the lake. I'm pumping, you know, engine oil exhaust into the environment these fish live in.
That's true, man.
It's like one of these things that I'm not the wacko guy where I'm like way far afield, but you go, you know, maybe at some point as anglers, we'll have to look at our ecological impact on the body of water over there. With that being said, I've always been the dude that if something blows out of the boat, I'm going to go get it.
Yeah, me too.
You know, that's where to start with that. Don't throw your beer cans in the lake. Don't put your cigarette butts in the lake. Nothing makes me madder. You know, don't add. Try to take away more garbage and more trash. And I think that's just good stewardship across the board. So the reason I brought up the Pete thing is, like, if we're going to be really sanctimonious and, like, really over the top and really care about a body of water and about a fishery and about all this stuff, let's not just leave it at the fish. Let's leave it at about their habitat. So without crawling down the rabbit hole on that, it's like, let's try to take more than we leave. You know, you see a worm can floating on the lake. Of anything I hate are those little blue worm containers.
Yeah. I pick up a lot, like, especially after, like, you know, the holidays up here, like 4th of July, there'll be life jackets and all sorts of trash floating on lakes. And I always have a trash bag in my boat.
I heard you pick up a lot of trash on campus, too. So anyway.
Why do you think I got that heavy duty, son?
Heavy duty. Next one. Oh, man. Next one up is literally, here it is. Jim from Ohio.
Nice.
You know, again, Tyler. If you're from Ohio, you put Ohio in your name. When trolling in the fall, should I put my lures at the same depths as the bait fish that I'm marking, or should I put them just above the level in which the muskies are suspended or hugging the bottom? As the temps continue to drop, don't the muskies need the bait right near them for them to bite? Don't they get less aggressive, almost lazy? Love the podcats. That was a rather hollow meow. It's getting so late. This is like super long. All right. So for the matter of thrift and time is this. Spread them out. Until you start banging fish, don't assume where they want to eat it at.
I mean, if you put them all at 8 feet, I mean, that's kind of counterproductive. Different things.
Right. So run it. If muskies are below bait schools, I want to be in between the muskie and in between the bait school on one. And one slightly lower and one way up top. That would be my thought process. Or you run all of them at 8 feet. Regardless. 9 miles an hour, 8 feet.
10 miles an hour, not nine. Who goes 9 miles an hour? Come on, man.
8 feet.
10 miles an hour.
8 miles an hour, 8 feet. No. That's it. I troll one depth. No, I mean, spread them out. Until something happens, spread it out. I mean, that's the thing, that if you can't use multiple lines, make multiple passes. So if you're relegated to like a one line kind of deal, run a pass at 8 feet and then one at 10 feet and then one at 3 feet. You know, try different depths until something's clicking. Like I said, the one I'm worried about is the one that, like, if bait is at 5 feet and you see big bananas,
banana.
The bait's at, you know, whatever, and the bait and the fish are trying to run in between, that's good. That's what I would be thinking. Moving on to the next one. Hey, guys. Follow us here, and the podcat is on fire. Meow. It's just degrading now. It's meow. Say the line.
I'm a depressed cat.
He said, when it comes to using bigger baits in the fall, what do you guys do for cast back strategies for followers? Is it still JB rats downsize for cast backs, or would upsizing be the ticket now? And if I'm coming back to a fish that fall, what presentation would you suggest for the fish that fired up and in the net? What do you got to do? If I'm throwing like 10-inch Phantoms, or I'm throwing Livingston Headhunter, or I'm throwing a 10-inch Jake, or I'm throwing a Bulldog, downsizing is all proportionate. So if, let's say, I'll go from a 10-inch Jake, I might come back on that fish that didn't eat, and I might come back with a 207 crane bait. It's a possibility. Downsize, but don't downsize from mega mondo to big. That made no sense. Don't size from like a really big bait to a really small bait. Step it down. Sometimes you can seal the deal still with a JB Rattler or a Rattle Trap or whatever. That's my thought there, is like, you know, don't go from a Mag Dog to a Cheez It. You know?
I would like to see someone catch a muskie and a Cheez It, please. So
please stop.
If you could release that muskie video to us, that'd be amazing.
You're causing too many problems. Last time you told a guy to catch one with a brick, and he's asking for free rods. The only way to get a free rod is to take a possum to the muskie shop.
What?
Question mark. Anyway. You know, I'll tell you some of the ones off the top of my head that are like sort of twinsies, Mag Dogs, and Ninja Tubes from Red October. Right? So if I move them on a Mag Dog, I might come back with 7.5 Ninja Tube. Huh?
Yeah.
That's always a good one. You know, a 10-inch Jake down to a crane bait. Right? That's a thought process. I will go from a Top Raider to the Whopper Plopper. That's possible if, like, you get a little Whopper Plopper if they're not fun. But, again, 10-inch Phantom to a 6-inch Phantom, you know, downsized in proportion. This is big bait time, so don't go from a monster bait to a tiny bait. Go from a big bait to a medium bait. And if medium bait's not working, go to small. And if small's not working, go home. You know?
Get out of here.
And he was saying, if I'm coming back to a fish that fall, that was, well, you know, we that sort of covers it. You know, if you're throwing Mag 10s, don't go to a 500. Go to a double 8. Just take one step down in size this time of year. And if it's like, if you're getting still follows and you're still not eating that step down from there. We got two more. Jimmy Joe, hello. Getting some sucker rods set up for a trip in a couple of weeks. What is the most effective way to set sucker lines out effectively while also having one or two people casting? I've been thinking about setting one straight down right next to the boat for any followers and having one or two on the other side on floats. Set at different depths. When you get a fish to hit, do you reel the others in to avoid getting it tangled? What is your plan usually? Just trying to get a game plan together so that in the heat of the moment, I don't get caught with my pants around my ankles. Thanks. Love the park cat. Just a gratuitous sadness. You people say podcat to denigrate us every week. I can't take much more abuse. Tyler, biggest sucker I know. Lay it on him.
Well, you know me, I'm all about hanging my meat. So as far as game plan is, I have one right next to the boat, so it's easy to figure eight right next to. And they're all off the back of the boat. I don't have like a rod sitting in the middle of the boat between both anglers. That's just in the way and annoying. It's all in the back. I have stuff all angled at different angles. I have one angled out to the right, one angled out to the left on the other side of the boat. On the back of the boat, you can have two sucker bobbers. I would angle one directly behind the motor and have it out a couple feet so it won't interfere with the one that's right below the boat. And then I would have one on angled out on completely on, like, say, left side all the way out, and I left that one out maybe 20 feet. And as long as you keep a very slow, steady pace moving forward, those suckers' lines should not really cross. And then usually when I get a sucker in, I've actually never even thought about reeling in the other suckers. I just set the hook and net them. I mean, there's not really anything. I've never reeled in suckers to catch a fish. Mm-hmm. I've never had to, because if you set it up correctly, you won't need to.
So the breakdown is you're running your suckers off your two back rod holders, keeping them out of the way, kind of deal.
Yeah, and they're angled in a way where their lines can't cross and they can't get tangled and can't mess up each other.
Sort of angled the rod forward a little bit.
Yeah, forward a little bit, or you know, they're just. I don't have them close enough together where they can swim next to each other or get all tangled, or if a muskie gets caught, they're going to be in my way or in each other's way.
Those suckers are back there conspiring against you.
One thing I'll say is put some snap-on weights on them suckers.
Yeah.
I clip them right on the sucker harness, and I'll have a half-ounce weight to an ounce weight right on their nose, so that mm-hmm. sucker cannot even swim up to the surface. I mean, muskies can't see that. They're just looking at that big hunk of meat hanging there.
Just a miserable death for that sucker.
Some of those suckers are tough as nails. Just tough as nails.
Press F in the chat to pay respects for the dead suckers. Man. I'll tell you. Yeah, that's the thing, is just you got to, I think more so than anything with sucker fish, and you got to worry about like not dragging your meat too fast or you'll kill it.
Oh, if you see them spinning like ring bologna, that's bad.
Ring bologna.
That's bad, man.
Just twisting like a top raider, folks. Mm-hmm. I like to drag my sucker somewhere around 9.9, 10.10.
You know, for a while they'll swim with you, right? But then when you see them spinning, that means they gave up.
They gave up. You're just helicoptering live or dead suckers over the top. Anyway, last one. Robbie says, going to Lake St. Clair next week. Where should I start casting? I would recommend Lake St. Clair.
It's true. I've never been there.
I can't say if there's weeds still this year. I don't know, man. There's like channels and backwaters. There's a lot of stuff. Man, I'll tell you, this is one of those things, though. It's like where it goes to might be worth the time to hire a guide, because it's a different year. You know what I'm saying? It's just like what we talked about earlier about everywhere. You know, maybe it's worth a half day or a full day to get somebody to get you lined up. You've got all kinds of stuff, whether it be like weed beds and open water and a lot of stuff there, man. On a body of water like that this time of year, I'll tell you the safest bet is look where all the boats are.
That's what people do in Green Bay, man.
Yeah. You know,
Follow everybody.
That's the cheap and skanky answer I can give you.
Yeah,
that you know, not my favorite answer I've ever given, but that's probably the truest answer. You go, well, if there's 60 boats over there and I'm over here by myself, either I'm real smart or they're real dumb, you know. Mm-hmm. And so I would be looking at that. You know, that'll give you a quick, cheap, cheater way of knowing what's going on. I mean, it is what it is. I do it all the time. You go, what? Okay, if there's 20 boats over here, maybe they know something. Maybe they don't, but that's a good way to look at it. Tyler, it's like 7 billion at night.
I have a quick challenge for everybody.
What's that?
Okay. Design Stephen Paul's muskie tattoo.
Oh, no. God, no. No.
You know, you're not obligated to do it. Just give him some design options.
Okay. You design a tattoo. The winner, we will print off as a temporary tattoo, and I'll put it on a part of my body for some extended part of time.
Yes.
And then take a picture.
I love it.
All right, that's it. You win. The winner gets an uncomfortable hug from the Musky Guru.
I give the best hugs. Don't act like you don't like them.
Everybody says, he just gives the best hug. You win a junior's inlines because it's way less creepy than any hug Tyler Andrews would give you. Anyway, this is like the super mega trillion million hour long episode. If you listen this long, I'm sorry. We're going to leave you with some hot, hot jazz. Good night.
Hope you guys like it. Bite me.